Stand and sing with me this morning.
So cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our
Your hearts are at peace this morning. Amen. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's just continue to worship Him. Amen. Let's sing together the power of love, power of your love. Key of G, musicians.
Lord, I come to you and let my heart be changed and renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Yes, hold me close, let your love surround me. Oh, bring me near and draw me to your side. And as I wait, I rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. And Lord, unveil my eyes and let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love has you live in me, oh Lord. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfold in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. Bring it out, church. Yes, Lord. And hold me close and let your love surround me. Draw me to your side. Oh, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Hold me close now. Yes, Jesus, hold me close and let your love surround me. Oh, bring me near, draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of, and I will soar with you. Oh, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross. Key of G.
Thank you for the cross, Lord.
Are you thankful this morning?
Price you paid in bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and you gave amazing.
That's right.
Thank you for this. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand and wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Oh, worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Oh, we crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. The Lamb. And thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin. For this love, oh Lord, and thank you for those nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleanse.
Is that your heart's desire, church?
All I know, your forgiveness and embrace.
Bring it out, church.
Isn't he lovely, my friends? Man, our God is an awesome God. Amen. Let's sing that song, B flat. We fall down, we lay our crowns at his feet. Amen. We fall. Is that it? We fall down.
Yeah.
Greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy.
Let's lift it up, musicians.
The Lamb. And we fall down and we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Jesus and the greatness of His mercy and love. At of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy. Let's sing it again from the top. We fall down now. Fall down. And we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 we cry, holy, 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 is once again, friends, let's just worship Him a little bit. Yes, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, and the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. Amen. He's worthy to be praised, is He not? Let's take our special needs to the Lord as musicians play that softly. Man, I'd like to ask Brother Ted Doucette if he would take the time to take these needs to the Lord for us in prayer. Amen. Several folks not with us today. Many are traveling. Some are sick. And we want to hold them up in our prayers. Amen. If you remember the Ashdowns in prayer, they're not with us traveling. So if you remember them in prayer. Also, if you'd remember Brother Tyler and Sister Ashley, they're not with us today. Sister Megan, Brother Mitchell, Brother Keith, and Sister Sarah also are not with us. Just want to remember them in prayer. All of them are not feeling well. The Munches are also not feeling well today, so if you remember them in prayer. And Brother Ben Pritchard is not here today. He's down in Georgia with the family there, Sister Angie and them. If you remember them in your prayers, special need here for Brother Troy and Sister Connie. If you remember them in prayer, we mentioned Sister the Pritchard family, also Sister Anna Pritchard, and the girls are not feeling well. So if you remember her in prayer, Sister Tina also is sick today. So if you remember her in prayer, Sister Tina Knobloch, and Brother Chris and Sister Keisha also not here with us today. And just miss them and pray that God would be with them wherever they are. Also, Brother Luke, Sister Haley, and also Sister Grace is not with us today. And if you remember them in prayer, one more prayer request as Brother Ted makes his way up here. Please pray for my mother-in-law. She's been having some lower back pain. And also for her aunt. She has requested her. This is from Sister Crystal requesting prayer for her aunt and for her husband. He's having a PET scan this week due to a lung nodule. Amen. So let's remember that special need in prayer, that God would be merciful. Amen. Unspoken prayer requests. I mean, God sees the need on your heart, my friend, and we're going to pray with you today. Brother Ted.
Let's bow our heads. Dear God, our Father, we're just so grateful to be here. not just in this building, and not just amongst people with the same faith and the same salvation, Lord, but to be in your presence, oh God. We feel your presence now, Lord. We know that you're in this place. And we know that when you're present, Lord, great things can happen and great things do happen. And so, Lord, we want to lift these requests before you, Lord, each one. There's a need that's been written, that's been spoken, and there's also needs that are unspoken and needs that are unknown even. But, Lord, you've known all things from the beginning of time, from before the foundation of the world. You even wrote our names on your Lamb's Book of Life, Lord. And you've been with us, Lord, all these generations up until our appearing, Lord. And then at the point of time, you rescued us out of the mire, Lord, and into your grace, and we thank you for it, Lord. Just always want to remember that and give you the praise, Lord. And we're just thankful that we can lift our requests unto you, Lord. And we know that you incline your ear. You hear what we say, Lord. You know the need before we even ask. And Lord, you're anxious to respond according to your word. And you're anxious to give us what we have need of, Lord. And we want to thank you that you're that kind of God to your kind of people, Lord. And we just want to thank you for this service today. We know that the word will come forth in a mighty way. We believe, Lord God, that you'll touch those that are not able to be here, Lord, that are perhaps streaming now, Lord. Give them strength. Give them healing and wellness in their bodies, Lord. Lord, we know it's your desire to do it, Lord, for you gave your back to the whip on your way to Calvary. You did it for that benefit, Lord, and we don't want to ever forget that benefit. And Lord, we just want to thank you above all, Lord, and give you all the praise now as we enter into your worship in Jesus' name.
Thank you very much, Brother Ted. You may have your seats. Let's sing that song Sister Becky's playing there. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will see the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest days, you've been close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me again now. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see. I am lifted up. Come on, church, sing it out. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing a holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. I want to see you. Oh, and open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. I want to see you. Yes, Lord. I want to see. Eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, yes, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing a holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Amen. Let's sing Speak the Name of Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. Oh, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, Lord. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. Oh, I speak Jesus. Amen. Oh, and your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Sing it again now. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Stand and sing with me, your name is power. Oh, and your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold and shine through. Yes, Lord, and burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, Jesus. Break every stronghold. Oh, shine. Yes, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus for my family, yes, I speak the holy name, oh, of Jesus. Sing it again now. Shout Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Oh, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness, over every... Oh, speak it over your family now. Oh, yes, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. Yes, Lord, your name is life. Break every stronghold. Oh, shine through the shadows and burn like a fire. Your name is power. Break the strongholds now. Break every stronghold. Oh, shine through the shadows and burn like a fire. I just want to speak His name. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. Oh, I speak Jesus. I just want to speak it once again.
I just want to speak.
Oh, there's power in his name, friends. Over every heart and every mind.
I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Oh, let's praise him with our hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. He's worthy of our praise, friends. Let our deacons come forward at this time. Amen. Let's take up our morning offering. Amen. Continue our praise and worship and our giving and our tithing. And knowing that our tithes and offerings go around the world to help further God's kingdom. Amen. Brother Ethan, would you?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time here, Lord. We just ask that you step down and touch every heart this morning. The service today. Just be with the speaker, Lord. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Do you need him this morning?
Amen.
Let's sing this little song as our pastor comes forward. I need you, Lord. Amen. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Oh, and I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Sing it. Make it your heart's cry, amen. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. My hands and bow my knees, oh, and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.
Deal with all of our hearts today, and we want to commit our time into his hands and just appreciate your worship and the atmosphere that's created here today. Let's have a word of prayer just as we begin this morning, and then we'll let you take your seats. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come into your presence, Lord. What a haven of rest your presence actually is from the pressures and the trials of this world and the darkness that we feel all around us. Lord Jesus, we know that you're doing something good in the hearts of the bride. We know, Lord, that there's a peace that passes understanding when we come into this place. We begin to worship you, Lord. And somehow or another, you come and visit us and draw close to us. And Lord, we feel so honored and so humble that you would condescend, Lord, to our place today. And I pray now that you would just minister to every heart and every soul, Lord, because because we are a needy people and has already been prayed, Lord. I just know that you care about us in a very personal and an intimate way. And there's nothing at all, Lord, that we could hide from you. And so we thank you, Lord, for this day. And we ask you that you would minister, Lord, to those that are here today in this building. And Lord, for those that are listening afar off, we commit them to you. We pray that your grace and your mercy and your healing virtue would flow to them as well, Lord. And may your presence comfort them that are watching and listening today, Lord. Bless those who are traveling in the highways, and we commit them into your care. We want to commit the service now into your hands, Lord, and pray that you would look at us through the blood of Christ as we take your word in our hands, Lord, and we read it. We want to be mindful, Lord, that without your sacrifice, Lord, we would never have a place to be able to take your word in our hands. And so have your way now, we pray in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated just for a moment here. We'll let our musicians take their places there. And we welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. I'm not going to be long. I just want to make a couple of quick announcements here. And then we'll jump right in this morning. So hold on to that spirit of worship that was created there this morning. Hold on to that. We'll jump right on in the word in just a moment here. First of all, I wanted to say this, that this afternoon the adult choir will rehearse at 3:30, be about an hour, and the musicians will start at 3 o'clock, so if you could be on time for that, that would be great. I'm excited that we have our choir practice back again, and looking forward to that. August 31st, which is the last Sunday of this month, our Sunday school starts, and we're excited about our Sunday school program this year, and I just want to remind you of that, and parents, just get off to a good start and make sure the kids are here. That will be important. We also, too, want to remind you again that we have our youth meeting on September 12th to the 14th. That starts on Friday night, goes through Sunday. It is a meeting for all of our church. Say, all of our church.
All of our church.
And for lots of young people and so forth who are coming in, our theme is going to be for younger people. But we want everybody to be participating. And Brother Trevor Eamon is going to take a couple of services, and Brother Diggs. And we're just going to devote that whole weekend. We're not going to complicate it with a whole bunch of extra stuff. But we want to give that time to those ministers and just trust it'll be a great blessing. And then, of course, on the 26th is our men's meeting that follows after that. I wanted to mention as well that we're going to have a prayer for the kids after service today, at the end of service, for everybody going back to school. We're already at that place again. It's just amazing how quick that comes around. So we want to do that at the end of service today. Brother Yeshua, I'm not sure if any of your family is affected, but Pakistan is certainly going through in the monsoon season there with all the flooding that's going on. I don't know if any of your family is affected there, but we're sure remembering those folks in prayer. The images are devastating. What happens annually in Pakistan is so unfortunate. So we're praying for them. Good to have the Walters back today after a long absence there. We missed you when you're gone. And each and every one of you, we wanted to mention today is the 16th. Brother Ted, is it your birthday today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. God bless you. We appreciate you and your wife being with us. August 18th, special day. Jeremiah Sheffield, there he is. How old are you, Brother Jeremiah?
I'll be 21 tomorrow.
21? Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. Wonderful. Sister Ella Kate Jackson, it's her birthday as well. Is she here today? And not here today. And also Keith and Sarah's 30th anniversary is on the 18th as well. Brother Keith wrote me this morning. He said, what a way to spend your anniversary. And just not feeling well, so we need to remember all the Buchanan family. August 21st is Sister Kristen Godwin's birthday. And they're not, is she here? She is here today. And August 22nd, we have Hunter McIntosh. I'm not sure if they're here today. And we miss Sister Lisa Pascal. Her name was on the list, and
It was her birthday on the 22nd, and also the Parks' anniversary. I saw them today, right? How many years, Brother Michael? 55 years, is that right? I'm not sure if that takes the lead or not, but that's pretty close. Brother Tom's still in the lead, is that right? Yeah. That's a milestone, Brother Michael. Sister Ellen, we're glad to have you with us, and may the Lord bless you and give you more good years ahead, and may God bless you. Men's camp out on October 14th. Just want to remind you of that as well, and keep that before you. And also as well, we sure do want to remember Brother Wellington and his need for employment, and just trust that the Lord will undertake for him. Well, let's stand to our feet this morning, if you don't mind. Let's go over to Acts chapter 24. I got a little bit of an echo, Jeremy, right here, and just letting you know that. Now, we have all of our announcements out of our way. We have all of our week, last week, out of the way. Next week, we'll have all kinds of busyness in itself. You don't need to worry about whether next week will be challenging. It will. I'll guarantee you, it will. So we have today as a day to serve the Lord and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've already gotten off to a good start in doing that. What I want you to do now today for the next hour or so is just to really focus and give Him your attention, give Him your heart. That's the best thing you can do. I've got all kinds of things up here, notes and things that were coming to me right even as I walked out the door this morning. And you know, the songs that were sung and the choruses and so forth all just kind of speak to the same thing. And I want to just really focus in this morning, and I'm going to ask you to do exactly the same thing. And just open your heart to what God has for us, all right? As much as this presentation is prepared, I know that God already knows exactly what He wants to say. And so the best thing we can do is just lay it all down and just let Him take it and use it for His glory and speak to us what He has for us today. Acts chapter 24, and we're going to read beginning at verse 10 this morning. And this is Paul in front of Felix. Verse 10, and Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." This is Paul's defense. He says nobody has any proof. This is all just hearsay. This is all just false accusation. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." You know, if there is a resurrection, everything's going to be okay. Right? If there's a resurrection, everything's going to be okay. "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." May the Lord add His blessing. You may be seated. Now, I'll guarantee you, in some supernatural sense, and I can tell you that I don't understand at all, but whenever you encroach on the devil's territory, he doesn't like it. And I think that would be a natural consequence. He doesn't like it when he's exposed, and he doesn't like it when the light comes. He doesn't like it when you fearlessly go after the things that are ours that he's tried to hide or hold back from us. And in this little series, I can honestly tell you, and I'm not trying to say this to be falsely humble, but I can tell you that I've tried to move on, and I keep being pulled back to it all the time. I'm amazed at how many people in different countries and in different parts of our country have written to me and said, this has really been helpful to me. And people here in the assembly have said that they've learned something from this. And I appreciate that. But I will tell you that if that's the case, then that's the work of the Holy Spirit and not my own work. And I'm not saying that just to be falsely humble. I'm just telling you that God knows exactly what we have need of, and he knows what to expose at different times.
Amen.
And I believe we're living in a time where there's nothing can remain hidden. It's all going to be made manifest, and it's all going to be made known.
Amen.
And so we live in what I would refer to as being exciting times. And I know that the enemy doesn't like this at all. And he has been fighting it very adamantly in my own circumstance, in my own life here. And I'm just excited about that because there are good problems and bad problems. And when the devil is fighting you, that's kind of a good problem because it means you're moving in the right direction. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I'll give you some examples of that, but let me just warm you up here a little bit this morning. Now, Brother Branham said, pagan worship, he said, is just to prostrate yourself before an idol, an imaginary god, and believe the imaginary god is talking to you. So let's just jump right in and talk about this directly here. Christianity, he said, is vice versa. It's the opposite. God takes a man that will prostrate or humble himself and speaks his own word through that living man, not an idol. I want you to watch what he says. God takes a man that will humble himself or prostrate himself, bow before God, the living God, and speak his own words through that living man, not an idol. Do you believe God still speaks through men?
Amen.
He surely does. And he turns right around from pagan idol worship to Christian worship. So there's one thing on one side, and then there's a true thing, true Christian worship on the other side. And they said the people in Solomon's day, they said, well, they got a man up there, Solomon, and their God that they worship, he speaks through that man with discernment, and it went everywhere. That news went everywhere. And all nations feared them. And he says, they sent in gifts and everything, and there were no wars in the time of Solomon. They thought he was too smart, but it wasn't him. It was God, the Holy Ghost in him, that was making him smart.
Amen.
So God still does that. God will still use a man. But now there are people who will prostrate themselves before what they refer to as an imaginary God. And somehow or another, this imaginary God's going to bless them. But that's not the way that God operates, right? You can't put anything between yourself and God and have a clear channel. That is what's referred to as idolatry. Now, so therefore, as I mentioned last week, Brother Bram said Russia will try to put them to sleep, put America and other nations to sleep. And one thing, I do not think that the war oncoming will be a missile warfare. I think it'll be a spiritual warfare that will come in and just take the nation over and put them to sleep till they get in and get a hold. 1961. So I was asking myself the question, what is God actually doing now to help us counter the wave of darkness that exists in our time? And I've got somewhat of an answer. It's limited, but I got an answer about what God is doing right now. But if you ask that question, you also have to ask this question. What is Satan doing right now? And how is Satan working? How is he active in the earth and in the lives of people today? And so let me just wade into this part here this morning, and hopefully I can get through this in a sensible and timely way here, because this is kind of a big question. So Brother Branham tells us, and I want you to keep that question in mind now. What is Satan doing now? Satan's army brings diseases. He's a destroyer. The whole kingdom of Satan is darkness and death and sorrow and frustration and worry. How many can say amen?
Amen?
That's his whole kingdom. It's a kingdom of darkness. God is life, faith, joy, and peace. And these are two great forces that are battling right here in the building now. Wow. Right here in the building now. And Satan trying to scare the liver out of you. I was trying to get a graphic that I could show and put that up there, but I couldn't find one. But you're fortified with the gospel and the word of truth around your loins. Satan is trying to scare us. He's trying to do whatever he can to cause you to draw back. He's trying to get you to become so frustrated and so nervous and so tense about things that you want to draw back and say, I just want out. I just want to back away. I don't want the pressure anymore. I don't want to have to wrestle with this anymore. How many of you have felt like that from time to time? And he's trying to do that with fear and all the different things that are going on around us here. And he said he's trying to scare the liver out of you, but you're fortified. You've got something in you that I think sometimes we underestimate. I think sometimes we don't realize that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Satan wants to bluff you into thinking that, well, that might have worked for other people, but it's not going to work for you. And prey on your fears and on your nervousness and so forth. Brother Branham tells us, he said, you're fortified with the gospel and the word of truth around your loins. That's good to know. But anything that is related to sickness and death and sorrow and frustration and worry and darkness and all of that antagonism, all of that is from Satan's kingdom. But there are only two forces now that are operating. But they are operating. There's only two, but they are definitely operating. And they exist. And they exist in the building right now. They exist in the minds of people. Just like we said last Sunday in Luke chapter 24, or the last time I was here. And as they spoke thus, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And this is the first time that they actually physically see Jesus in the same room with them after the crucifixion and the resurrection. But they were terrified. These are understatements here. They were terrified. And that's the feeling of like falling. The bottom's fallen out of her. And they were affrighted, meaning that they were full of terror and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Meaning, why are you so nervous and anxious about this? And why do thoughts arise or mount up in your hearts? And that word thoughts there, it means a deliberate questioning about what is true and the hesitation and doubting that goes with it. And that's why, as I mentioned on the previous Sunday and also on last Wednesday, no matter what it is that takes place, even if this is, you know, my last sermon, I'm not going to say that, but I said that and then I got in trouble for it all over the place, but I'm not going to say that anymore. But there are situations, Jesus is telling us, there are situations that exist, and they exist between our two ears. They exist in the minds of people that cause us to question and cause us to hesitate and cause us to doubt God's promises. And they cause us to be anxious, as the scripture says. He's just describing what it is that they're thinking. He knows what's going on in their heart. Why are you troubled? Why are you feeling this way? And it's a natural human response to the things that are pressed upon us. They exist and they come against us. And Jesus is saying, why do you have those thoughts there? In other words, even as bad or as pressure filled as things are, God's not lost control. Amen. And I can assure you that God doesn't lose control because of current events that take place. God's got control. God keeps control. And this is the promise that we have. As we sang this morning in that last chorus, it's Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. He's Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Every enemy that we can face. How many can say amen? Amen. Every enemy that we can face, Jesus overcomes that. He rises above that. And Christ in us rises above the same thing. Amen. And so this is the normal, natural response that human beings would feel in a time of trouble. And Jesus says, hey, I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to show you that I'm alive. I'm here to show you that not even death could hold me and hold me back. And if there is a resurrection, everything is going to be okay. You don't need to worry about things at all, even though things may happen that you may not understand. Paul is telling the early church, and the Thessalonians are under pressure. He's telling the church, now we beseech you by the coming of the Lord Jesus and by our gathering unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, as that day of Christ is at hand. And that means that that word shaken there, it means to be cast down or moved from your happy state, your secure state, your feeling of security. And the motion that's created by storms, whenever you have a storm that causes great, great pressure, great wind, it's always a disconcerting thing. And Paul is telling us here that we don't want you to be shaken at all because of the circumstances that surround us. But rather, he said, these are things that are to be expected in the last day. Now, we are living in that last day. How many would agree? We're living in that last day. And I believe this, that God would never have left us here in this last day unless he gave us what we have need of in order to overcome this last day. That would defeat his purpose if he left us here as portions of the bride to be overcome by the world and by Satan and so forth. It would defeat his purpose in order for that to happen. So, therefore, we know that he's given us the resources we need in order to overcome the times we're living in. So, in other words, we've got his number. We've got the answer that Satan we got the answer for Satan's onslaught. We have the answer for the problems that we face. And this is what Paul is telling us here, that these things are to happen in the last day. And he said, deception will come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come. And everything that's associated with it, it'll all pile up in that last day. But be ready. God's going to empower you. God's going to equip you. God's going to fill you with what you have need of in order to be able to stand in that day. All right, this is elementary. And I know that you know all these things here. We also know, too, that there's a solidness about the realm of the soul. In my soul, I don't know how you feel about this. I trust you feel the same way. But the question of eternal life, for me, is settled.
Amen.
I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I know I'm a child of God.
Amen.
And I know my sins are forgiven.
Amen.
That's settled. In my mind, I know that. In my heart, I know that. And Brother Branham talks about his time back in 1962. He's talking about his testimony. He said there was a railroad track back there, and I ran down that railroad track, jumping in the air as hard as I could go. He said, I didn't know how to give vent to my feelings. He was only a young boy. And I was shouting, he said, but in my own way. And he said, what was it? I've anchored my soul in a haven of rest. And that settled it. When I met God and he said I was born again, that settled it. That was my absolute, and there I had found something, not something mythical or some idea, but he knew it was real.
Amen.
How many have a similar testimony?
Amen.
For me, the sin question is settled. And I know what, I believe what Jesus did. I believe that he died for my sins and he paid the price. And therefore, my sins are not accountable and they're not available in the eyes of God for him to see. They're gone.
Amen.
They're absolutely gone. They're gone as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And they can never be brought back again out of his sea of forgetfulness. They're gone. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
That's not where our battle is. Because here's Brother Branham. Even as a young boy, he said, it's settled in my heart. Settled in my soul as a haven of rest. That's not where the struggle is. The struggle is right here. Right? That's where that's what we use to look on our phones. That's what we look at when we see the news headlines. That's what we look at. This is where we live in a sense from day to day. And so the sin question is settled, but the mental struggles we go through are real. And that's very often where we find trouble. Now, I came across a meaning of this word trouble here this week, and I want to just share it with you. The Hebrew word for trouble is sarar, and it means that there's a distress so great that you can't think hardly. You can't enjoy anything. You can't sleep well. All you do is think about your trouble, your sarar. And it connects to anxieties and fears that we may face, like persecution or spiritual wickedness. Sarar can take hold, particularly at night when there's no distractions. How many can relate to that? At night, very often we wrestle even more than we do during the day because there's no distractions, there's no busyness, there's no other activities. And we can lay there and dwell on things. And Satan will use the trouble when there's no distractions, and it'll lead to almost a feeling of being overwhelmed. I thought that definition of trouble was a pretty accurate one. And it overwhelms our thinking, and it overwhelms our peace, and it overwhelms our rest. And all of that takes place right here, right in the mind. That's exactly where that takes place. And all of us know what this feels like. And when something happens to you and you feel like you've
offended somebody, it feels like you've done something wrong. You may not have, but it feels like you did. Or it feels like you forgot something and it made a difference. Or maybe you spoke to somebody and it didn't come out right. And there's misunderstandings and all of that. My goodness, when you get alone at night in the darkness and you're just laying there, or you sleep for a while and wake up, now there's no distractions and there's nothing else there. You don't have that reasoning power like I talked about before, that normal, natural reasoning ability to be able to balance that out. And all of a sudden this becomes overwhelming. We find in Scripture, this is used several times in 1 Samuel. Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" This is when the witch of Endor brings up Samuel back in front of Saul there. Because Saul, he says, "I am sore sarar." That's the same word. I am sore distressed. I am so troubled. I can't sleep. I have no peace. I'm full of anxiety and fear. For the Philistines made war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets or dreams. And therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. And so the most troubling thing is when God departs from you, right? Like Saul experienced here. And God is not answering him. And Saul has got all the armies and all the people of Israel now are under his control. And they're looking for him to provide an answer. And he has no answer. And this is a good example of somebody who is really feeling the pressure of Sarar. And it's affecting everything he does, everything he thinks about. And so he's led even to the point where he goes to a witch. And that's pretty bad, right? He goes to a necromancer, and a necromancer is somebody who wants to get information from the dead and wants to communicate with the dead. And this is an evil thing. And Saul had already banned all of that practice out of the country of Israel. And he's already taken a stand against it, and he's already pushed all those witches out, and they're all gone, and all that kind of activity, it's gone, because God doesn't like that, and God doesn't believe that. You're being quiet. This is not the place to be quiet. God does not condone witchcraft. Amen. God does not condone necromancy. Amen. God does not support any of that. Amen. God does not inspire all the movies that are made about that. Amen. And yet, Saul is in such desperation. He's sore distressed, he says, for the Philistines have made war against me, and I don't have God to turn to, and I gotta go with the only thing I know, even if it's on the dark side, I gotta go with this. And I'm not saying that he's right, because, you know, even Samuel's not too happy about being called up back into the fray again. But this is a good example of the word sarar. Now, while I'm here, let me just visit this, if you don't mind. Leviticus chapter 19, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, and neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Next chapter, "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people." Is anybody unclear? Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20. "And a man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones, that their blood shall be upon them." I mean, I think the language is pretty obvious. And I know, stay with me, I know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, here's Peter now dealing with Simon the sorcerer. And in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, Simon sees, who now professes to believe the message, Simon comes around and sees the supernatural being manifested by Peter. And he looks at that and says, "I got to have that." And he offers to buy whatever it is that Peter's got in order to make that happen in his own life. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. and bewitched the people of Samaria. In other words, he knows enough to know that this is supernatural. He knows enough to know that this is not just Peter's natural power. And so therefore, because of his experience in the past and having been involved in sorcery, he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. In other words, he used that evil supernatural power in order to gain notoriety and to overlord the people with fear. How many know that that's not of God? Amen. Right? I mean, that's real obvious. That's not of God. To whom they all gave heed, from the least unto the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. I mean, my goodness. But I want you to notice the tragedy here. The tragedy is that the people who are listening to Simon the sorcerer can't figure out what's God and what's not. Because they're listening to Simon the sorcerer, and they're saying, well, he's got the great power of God. I mean, this man must, God must be with him because he's doing these supernatural things here. And so he comes to Peter and says, I'd like to have whatever you have in order to raise the dead like you did. And let's see if we can make a deal. And Peter comes down hard on Simon the sorcerer. And he says, hey, that's not how it works. And he condemns Simon the sorcerer right on the spot. You can read it in Acts chapter 8. Now, let me read here what I've written. In the Bible, a wizard means a knowing one. Refers to an individual who engages in practice forbidden by God, such as sorcery, divination, and necromancy. Mm-hmm. Wizards were believed to have supernatural knowledge or power, often achieved through consulting familiar spirits or the dead. The Bible views these practices as detestable to the Lord and a rebellion against him. All right, now, so you have Old Testament, you have New Testament, you have AI, you have everything, because that paragraph there is from AI. I didn't ask AI whether it was good or bad. I just wanted to know what this word actually meant, and this word wizardry and so forth, and this is what it came up with. Let me tell you, folks, I think that's pretty clear. I'm not sure how much more I need to add to that. Of course, now, Harry Potter is exempt from that. Because that's all right. I mean, that comes from Hollywood, right? That's all right. Really? It's amazing how normalized stuff has become simply because Hollywood pushes it out. Simply because everybody else is doing it. Now look, you can do what you want. And I mean, I'm not here to try to control you or try to, obviously you don't sense the kickback I got when I said that. But I would just say this, you're welcome to do whatever you want. But for me, I wouldn't have that in my house. I would not have my children near that, not for love nor money. Because you know what? It's clearly condemned by God. It's a thing God condemned very clearly, even by death back in the Old Testament there, and condemned it all the way right out into our time. I mean, I could give you a list of quotes here if you want them. Brother Bam talks about the same thing. And I would tell you what, why would we want to get near that when we profess to know the one true and living God? Amen. I was on the airplane just recently, come back from Scotland, and they had the screen in front of you on their seat there, and I was just sliding through there because they had all the movies that were on there. So I'm just sliding through, just out of curiosity. And it comes that it's all alphabetical. So I come to H, and Harry Potter pops up, right? And there it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, it was just page after page after page of movies there, all with the Harry Potter title. Because it's so incredibly popular and it's so incredibly normalized. It's scary. It's scary that Satan would have pulled that off and brought it into people's homes. But hey, listen, that's not surprising. What's surprising is that he brings it into believers' homes.
Oh, you say, Brother Barry, you're not out to win the popularity contest, are you? No, I'm not. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18. When thou art come into the land, how many know the land for Israel is the same thing as the word for us? Now, don't get quiet on me. Come on. How many of you know that the land to Israel is equivalent to the word for us? So when we come into the land, with this is our land right here, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Wow. He's pretty thorough here. For all that do those things are an abomination unto the Lord. Now look, it's one thing to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to be called an abomination. That's kind of on another level. It's another category. And he says, these that would use that, he says, they're an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God drive them up before thee, and thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times. The people who were here before were observers of times and also unto diviners. In other words, they were looking to another source to find out what the future held. That's what Saul needed, right? He needed to know the future. What's going to happen to me? And he needed to know the future. So he goes to a witch because the witch has the communication with that world to be able to pull that stuff up. And they're wanting to know what the future is. Hey, listen, to me, there's only one who knows the future, and that's God. Amen. There's only one who knows the future, and that's God. And God is saying, here I am in the land of Israel. And you go to wizards and you go to necromancers and you go to witchcraft and you go to all that stuff. And I'm the one who knows the future. And you're supposed to be my people and you're going to these wizards here. And I'm the one that controls everything. And you're going to that kind of garbage here. And I'm the one that made a way for you to be in the land and you're going to that kind of stuff. I mean, what's God? How do you think God's reaction really is going to be to stuff like this? For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so to do. For thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee so to do. Because the nations that possess the land before you did it, doesn't mean that you should do it. Should I go on? All right, now look. There's an interesting passage that you may never have seen before. In Lamentations chapter 1. Here it is on the screen, so I'll read it for you. And I just want you to notice something here. And Jeremiah, in his Lamentations, he's talking about the city of Jerusalem and how God was so would have favored Jerusalem and loved her and blessed her and given her things and all of that. Oh my, how God would have prospered the people and so on. But he said, you know, you defiled your skirts and you committed whoredom in the city and all these other things, you know, that were going on. And it says in verse 8 here, Jerusalem has grievously sinned, saying, therefore she is removed. And all that honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. Her filthiness is in her skirts. And that's a phrase for, in the Hebrew language, it's a phrase for her moral depravity. She's morally corrupt. Her filthiness is in her skirts, and she's like a woman of the street. She's like a woman of the night, and she's given herself to all kinds, opened herself to all. I want you to listen to me, folks. I'm not preaching Old Testament here, but I want you to listen to me here. He says Jerusalem is now considered an offcast, and Nebuchadnezzar came and took her off, took the people off into Babylon, stripped the temple of its vessels and did all of that and laid it bare, made it a barren place. Yeah.
And he was allowed to do all of that because of the immorality and the unfaithfulness and the rebellion and the the disharmony that was existing in Jerusalem. And he never would have been allowed to do that because God created Jerusalem and God watches over Jerusalem. It's a center of it, of worship for Israel. It's a very, very important place. And God would never have allowed that had Israel been obedient and consistent and was moving in the right direction. Hey, let me tell you something. God does not always interested in you overcoming everything and defeating everything and being perfect. I mean, that's a struggle. But God wants us to be moving in the right direction.
Amen.
God wants us to be moving forward.
Amen.
And even if our forward progress is only an inch at a time, we still want to be moving in that direction rather than moving in the other direction.
Amen.
And that's a principle of God. But Jeremiah says here in this lamentation that when God looks at you, he sees the filthiness of her skirts and the immorality and how you have played the harlot here and you've gone after other gods and gone after other things here. And he says in the next sentence here, she remembereth not her last end. And that literally means she did not consider the fact that every action has a consequence. Now you open your household to stuff that doesn't belong. And whether it's a Twilight, whether it's a Harry Potter, or whether it's worldly music, or whatever else, in an effort somehow to create looseness, and you don't like the absoluteness of the message and whatever else, you're foolish not to consider the end of those choices. And that's what the lamentation is all about. She remembers not, and the Hebrew word there is destiny. She doesn't remember what God's destiny was designed for. And I say this, that for the people of God, he's got a destiny in mind for all of us. How many would agree? God's got a place. God's got a destiny. God's got a direction for all of us. And that's something that he's very passionate about. And here are people that, after all what's been done for them, they forget their destiny. They don't remember where it is that God's trying to take them. And they're moving off into some other direction.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that there are consequences for those actions.
Right. Amen.
And then people wonder, they wring their hands and wonder why in the world our young people are wandering off in the world and going off doing something else. And we dragged them to church all of our life. And we tried to do this and something else And then children will wander away. Let me just say this. This may seem like a strange statement, but the body will only go where the heart has already gone.
That's right.
Your body will only go where your heart has already gone.
Amen.
Your body will only go where your heart has already gone. That's an interesting statement. We're going to pray for our kids today at the end of church, because they're going back to school and university and all of the different things that go with that. And we pray every year, we pray that God would protect them and watch over them.
Amen.
And that God would not only on the defensive, but God would also make them a witness for truth and light in the last day. I think those are good things to pray for.
Amen.
Pray for their families and so forth. But we have a lot of kids this year who will go to college for the first time. A lot of kids in our country will go to college. Many of them will even go to Christian colleges this year. And you know what? The statistics tell us that over half of those kids that wind up going to college wind up renouncing their faith at the end of that 4 years. The statistics tell us. It's an alarming thing. But they go in believing that they're Christians and so forth and wind up denouncing it entirely because they're confronted with different ideas and different ideologies and so forth that are found in those institutions there. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to college. I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying that that's a statistical fact that a lot of kids go into college and they come out as unbelievers when they went in as supposedly believers. And I will tell you part of the reason why. Part of the reason why is because if they have lived in a household where the emphasis was on behavior management and they get out from that behavior management and they're on their own, now there is no control.
That's right.
And their body is going to go where their heart already is.
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Amen.
If a young person's heart is not captured by the glory of God, and if they don't experience a new birth, and they don't realize that I am totally dependent on the presence of God, the only way I'll stand is by the presence of God. The only way I'll stand is by the life of God in me. The only way I'll stand is because He gives me strength to stand. Unless a young person realizes that, they'll figure I can take what I have and go anywhere. And their hearts, if their heart's already gone, their body's only going to fall. Because we need more, listen, we need more in our lives than just behavior management by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need to have a heart for God.
Amen.
You need to have a passion for God that says, no matter what happens, I'll serve Him. No matter where life takes me, I'll serve Him. No matter what comes up, what temptation, what opportunity is there. And there's lots of opportunities. Hey, listen, you people are talented, gifted, able, smart, intelligent. You have good voices. You have good bodies. You have athletic ability. You have all kinds of things. You have musical ability. I mean, we have no shortage of musical ability here. We have no shortage of management ability. We have no shortage of medical ability here. You can say amen if you want to. We have no shortage of that. And so there's no shortage of opportunities that come our way because we are a blessed people. But every opportunity does not mean it's the will of God.
Amen.
And you got to make sure what you give your heart to, because where your heart goes, your body's going to follow that. And sometimes we wonder why young people walk away and why young people become indifferent and so forth about spiritual things. And let me tell you, if we've only repressed their behavior, if we've only tried to hold on our behavior and never cultivated an experience with Christ, lift the controls off and watch them go. I remember years ago when the Soviet Union came down. I remember it very well. And we were involved in helping believers in Russia. Up to this point, the restrictions were so incredibly tight in terms of Russia. I mean, it was scary how tight the restrictions actually were. What you could do, what you could say. I read of a fellow who was imprisoned for 40 years, because he asked a question of life outside of the life outside of the Soviet Union. He was imprisoned for 40 years because he made inquiry about life outside the Iron Curtain. It was just incredible how held down they were. And when the Soviet Union broke up and the restrictions, many of the restrictions, they kind of went away for a while. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing what kind of opportunity was created in the world for that. One of the things that happened was that the Jewish Russian believers got out and they were now able to go to Israel. They were never allowed to go to Israel before that. But now all of a sudden they were able to go freely. The second thing that happened was that the message came in. And now people who had endured persecution and trials and torture, even, and I know people who endured torture before, now they were able to come into the country and bring the message and, have freedom to be able to read it. We even started printing operations inside Russia. I mean, it was just amazing. I got to tell you this one thing as a side story to my side story. I remember one time I went in and I had, my wife and I did the poster of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was the poster that had Revelation chapter 1 written out, seven church age messengers on the bottom. Some of you may have seen it. We did that. We did it in multiple languages. We did it also in the Russian language. And we printed it and sent it all over the world. This is years ago. And it was the only poster, the only thing that we had that had a true description or an image of all seven church age messengers. And that's why we did it. And so I was going into Russia to bring these posters into them. And I had about 200, and I rolled them up really tight in a roll and put them in a thick cardboard tube and put them in my luggage. I had two suitcases, and I put them in my luggage. The tubes are about this long, and the posters are very dense. That kind of paper is very dense, so it's hard for light to pass through it. So I had about 12
tubes in my suitcase, lined up. All my clothes were on top of it. And I go through, I get off the plane, go through customs, and in those countries, the last thing you do is put your luggage on the scanner and send it through, as they're wanting to make sure you don't bring in drugs, you're not bringing in guns, that kind of thing. And so the last thing I do, and I'm not even thinking about what I've got in my bag, I've forgotten what I got in my bag, and I take the suitcase, throw it on the conveyor belt, and I go over on the other side. All of a sudden, there's a sound. And the sound is like a whistle that's going off. And all of a sudden, I see soldiers. And there are soldiers there. And the woman who is looking at the screen of what's going through the conveyor belt, she's backing away like this. She's going like this. She's backing away. And she's got a look on her face. And I'm thinking, well, that's odd. And somebody must be in trouble. And all of a sudden, these soldiers are there, and this guy with a gun, he stands right next to me, and he says, "Open that." And I said, "Sure, my suitcase." And I flip it open, and he pulls away my stuff that's there and looks at it. And he saw the biggest pipe bomb he had ever seen in his life. Because that's just what it looked like. And then, you know, it takes me a while, but it dawned on me. Oh, that's what you're thinking. And so I reached and grabbed him. He went like this. You know, he thought I was going to detonate the thing. But I said, "No, let me show you." And so I pulled one open and popped up the top and let him see. These are posters. And I pulled them out, really tightly packed in, and I pulled them out. I said, "These are posters I'm just bringing in for friends of mine in the country." He just walks away like this. I said, "See you later." Off I go. So everybody was able to bring things in. I mean, related to the message, it was great. We had an open door, and everything came into the Soviet Union. But what was interesting is that when the lid was taken off, the restrictions were taken off the Soviet Union, pornography flowed in there, organized crime came into there, gambling came into there, child trafficking came in there. Every evil, every vice, every horrible thing came into the Soviet Union because the controls were off. Yeah. What I'm simply saying to you is this. If we control our behavior of our children, and that's all we do as parents, we fail as parents. Amen. We have to, and Brother Branham tells us this, we have to cultivate a relationship between them and Christ, because that's the only way they're going to be able to stand in the evil day. Is not because their behavior is perfect, but because they got a relationship with Christ. And if your child is going off to school somewhere, let me tell you, the most important thing that they can have is a personal relationship with Christ, because they're going to be without their pastor. They're going to be without their parents. They're going to be without all the normal boundaries that are in place. And that's where the devil moves. Yes. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And so that's exactly what's taking place. So therefore, There are things that happen, and the devil is trying to make life difficult for all of us. I don't know whether you know or not, but there were people on the internet who hacked into the story of Wells Pritchard and falsely raised money for themselves. They put his picture, his parents' picture up there, and described the cause and said, "Send money to this place." And it had nothing to do with the Pritchards. Nothing at all. Because the devil's trying to do whatever he can to cause you sarar, the trouble. Last night, we arrived in our neighborhood, my wife and I. We were there until Thursday. We arrived in our neighborhood last night, around supper time. And we came in, and we were just happened to be driving around our neighborhood, which we often do. And I noticed, and I looked, there was a bright green sign on our land. We have a house, well, we have land down the road next to our house, 3 acres, so on, that's there. We plan to build a house on that land. And we went down out of curiosity and looked, and here's a for sale sign on the property. I'm looking like the Russians. what is this? And there's a real estate company listed there. There's a phone number for the realtor there. And the land is for sale. We get on the internet and look. Sure enough, it's for sale. It's on every real estate site on the internet. It's everywhere. And we're looking at that, and I called the number of that real estate agent. Got an answer machine Saturday night. And we begin to look this up. I took the sign down immediately. My wife said, "Is that all right to do?" And I said, "This is my property. This is not for sale." So I took it down. And I find out that there has been a scam. And it's a property scam that goes on all the time. Where people from somewhere else impersonated me and signed my name to a seller agreement to sell that land. And I went back and I began to trace back. I called the police and the police advised me, and I called another realtor I know and called, you know, some different people who were aware of this kind of thing. And they said, "Oh, yeah, it happens." And they could not have put that for sale sign up unless somebody named Barry Coffey had signed that agreement to sell that land. And so we reversed that as best we could. We, you know, made inquiries and we reversed it, but it's Saturday night and it's difficult to do. But you know what? That kind of a thing, because it's like somebody reaches into your own, it's like a robbery. It's kind of what it feels like. It's like somebody breaks into your house and you know, they're trying to set this up for a quick cash flip and to be able to have land in a nice neighborhood like that and to be able to walk away, even if they did it for half price or whatever else. You know, it's a thing that goes on all the time. And, you know, you're totally unaware of that because, you know, innocently you're going through life and assume that nobody's going to steal it. Nobody's going to take your land and sell it. And it's kind of a shock because you're looking at something and, you know, it's something that's not supposed to be. And it does something to your brain when you see something like that you're not supposed to be. You ever get on a moving escalator that's not moving? It happens to me all the time in airports. You get on the escalator and it's not moving and you're falling. Because your brain is telling you this should be moving faster now, right? This is the way it should be going. And you stumble. I do it every time. I stumble every single time. Even when I can see it's not moving, I still stumble because my brain is telling me it should go this way. And we went down to our land, and there's a for sale sign on it. It's like it does the same thing. And your brain, that doesn't, hey, this is not right. It doesn't compute here. It's Sesar. It's the trouble that Satan will bring. And Satan will do that, but he'll do it more quickly on a Saturday night, that's for sure. So what's God doing? That's the question now that we want to ask. What is God doing? Now, we are obviously not going to have all the time to answer this and look at all of it. But just briefly, we know that God, from the early church right out to the bright age, God's been at work gathering the redeemed. All those whose names are on the Lamb's Book of Life. He's also been regathering Israel since the early 1900s now to bring her back into the land. World powers positioned on the world stage are still being positioned on the world stage. And time for the world and the cosmos to become like Sodom and the days of Noah. All of these things you can say amen to. You don't need to dwell on them. In that time, we have a harvest going on. And it's a ripening, a maturing of the bride of Christ until there's an ingathering. And there's a moment comes in the harvest when the combine comes and actually takes that wheat back into the garner, and that will be the change or the catching away of the Gentile bride. And then, of course, we have another 3.5 years that will unfold for the Jews here. Now, so Brother Branham asked the same question, but what is God doing now? What is God doing? He says very simply, he's transforming you from what you was. Maybe a daughter or a son or a love from a lovely family sometimes, but he places you somewhere else. What is God doing now? Now, sometimes we think we're making decisions here, but in reality, God is actually placing you somewhere because it's his way of doing it. It's a renewing of your mind to obey the word of God, regardless of what the price is. So there are things that happen that move us. There are things that happen that uproot us from where we are because it's easy for us to get into patterns and routines and ways of thinking, ways of doing things. And here's God saying, I don't want you to get too attached. I don't want you to get too involved in this. I need you to be here and I need this to change and I need something else. I'll tell you what, it's a very great thing when you realize that God has actually placed me somewhere. It may be inconvenient. It may be difficult. But when you come to terms with the fact that God has actually placed me somewhere that's better for me than where I was, that's a good thing. Now, you can be distracted and you can be put out of a place, and you can be tempted by a job or a school or something else, and you can be distracted, and actually it's not a good thing for you at all, because you get gradually farther and farther away from God, and that's obviously not a good thing. But God's got his way of doing it, and he's doing it to renew your mind. He's doing it to transform your thinking. He's doing it to prepare you that there's going to come a day when I'm going to say, I'm going to take you from where you are, this body in this place, and I'm going to bring you into my kingdom, and you need to be ready to go. And I believe God is already conditioning us for that moment.
Amen.
Are we okay? All nature of goodness gathered together, that's God. And anything that's perverted, anything that's perverted from good is evil. That's Satan's kingdom. All good belongs to God. It's kind of simple. Now, for the cause of time here, let me just jump to this, and I don't want to break a record. Unbelief doesn't stop God, Brother Branham says. It doesn't stop his program, doesn't stop his move, doesn't stop nothing. Unbelief will only stop the unbeliever. It stops him in his sin, and there he is, he's standing looking at himself. So unbelief doesn't stop God, and spirits don't die. They carry on from age to age. And so the spirits that Moses warned the people about, wizardry and necromancing and familiar spirits, all of that, you know, those spirits don't die. They move on generation to generation. We find themselves, now they wear a different mask, but they show up in every generation because they're there to break down and to tear up God's people and so forth. But if God now, again, coming back to the statement, if God left us here in the age that he left us in, he would have to have armed us and empowered us to be able to be overcomers in our time.
Amen.
Part of that is what God's provided for us. Because God has, let me say it this way, God has given us resources that we should never, ever take for granted. I thank God he's given us a church, a nice church that we can worship in. And I think that's a great thing. I think that God's given us a fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Who take the word and break it down and give it to the people continually over time. That's why you store up food, is to be able to use the food in a season where it's needed. Right? And Brother Branham stored up food, and I thank God that he did. But Brother Branham's not here to give out the food. And what's the point of having food? If come on, stay with me now for a minute. What's the point of storing up food if there's nobody to give it out? What would be the point of storing up food if there was no one to receive it? But I believe God's got both. I believe he's got a fivefold ministry to minister nourishment to the bride. And I thank God there's a bride that we can preach the message to.
Amen.
I'm here because, God's called me to preach the message, and I'm thankful you came along. But what a silly thing for me to preach to an empty church. You'd feel like you're in COVID again. Now, in Aberdeen, North Carolina, which is 140 miles from here, Brother Branham said, God fortified his army. I want you to watch the next few statements here. God fortified his army. How many are part of the army?
Amen.
How many are you're enlisted? With what? What did God fortify his army with? Himself, in the form of prophets. Just prophets?
No.
Prophets, apostles, teachers, pastors, Ephesians 4, fivefold ministry, right? Do you ever think what those offices of the church are? It's God's dress, God's outfit. An apostle, a prophet, a seer. What is it? God dressed up in his church. God dressed up in his church. These offices are God's dress wear. These offices are part of God's uniform. Are we okay? These offices are a part of God's armor that he wears in the last day, because there's going to be a struggle in the last day. And he dresses himself. I mean, that's what he's referring to. That's what he calls it here. He dresses himself in these ministry roles to be able to fight darkness and to be able to, encourage the people and God's dressed up in his church. These offices are God's dress wear. And when you see these offices, pastors, teachers, evangelists, what is that? That's God's dress wear. God's presence. God's spirit working through man. You remember the very first quote I gave you? When somebody prostrates themselves before the idol, they believe that God, they believe their God is going to speak through that idol to them. And he said that's the opposite of Christianity. When a man, Brother Bram says, when a man lays himself, humbles himself before God, God can use that man and speak through that man. Right? And if that office denies any of this word, then it's not God's dressing. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Watch that fellow. Beware of him. But when he just takes what the word says, remember, that's God, because he's speaking God's word. Wow. I would not say that about myself, but I'm just telling you what the tapes say. Is that all right? I'm telling you what a prophet said in this last day. There's a lot of people who don't believe like that. There's a lot of people who don't worship like we worship this morning. There's a lot of people who profess to know that God sent a prophet in this last day who are taught differently. I found this picture on a very prominent website. And this was the caption was a youth meeting in an African nation. And here is a picture of Brother Branham in front of a keyboard, or sorry, a laptop that's sitting on a table there that's playing Brother Branham's tapes. That's a youth meeting in an African nation. That's bad. But let me tell you what's more heartbreaking to me. Is that when I looked and saw this little guy here in the back seat, it looks like he's asleep, but his feet are not even touching the ground yet. So he's young enough to be in a place where he's being taught that if God's, listen, this is how it's done. We don't need a pastor. We don't need a church. You don't need God's dress wear. We're looking back that way. Now, look, folks, this is not my first rodeo, and I need to tell you something. I know I'm going to lose this battle. I know I'm going to lose this battle. But I got to tell you what Brother Branham said. And I got to warn you of things that exist in our time. So let's go back to Brother Branham and find out what he said about all this. Let's go back and look at what he said. Or you could ask the question, what would Brother Branham say if he was here? I don't think he'd say anything different than what he said when he was here.
Amen.
If he's a true prophet of God, he's not going to come with a new message, right? So let's look back at what he did say to know how we should conduct ourselves in our time. And I don't want to say any of this to say that, well, we're better than somebody else. Let me tell you, by the grace of God, we follow the Holy Spirit as best we know how. And pray for everyone else to Amen. Do the same thing. Not to fall in line behind us, but to be arm in arm together yeah. to make it through the ports of glory. That's honestly, that's my desire.
Amen.
Because no one wants to see anyone left behind, because the being left behind now is an inescapable fact called tribulation. Yeah. And so there's nothing in my heart that says we're better than somebody else here. All I'm just saying is that I think I have responsibility, and you have responsibility as well, to keep our balance in the Word.
Amen.
And to be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit deals with us and follow the instructions that God gave us in this last day. Watch what Brother Bram says. Let's look at what he says. The first messenger was God himself. But since he's made man and redeemed man, it's been God speaking through man. He uses not the agency of a mechanical device. That's what he said. But he uses a man. Man that's surrendered and consecrated to God. That's what he uses to preach the gospel. All right. Missionaries, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Well, we have to have them say it.
All.
Some's pastors. Some's teachers. Some's evangelists. Some's missionaries. Some's prophets. They're all God's servants, set together to temper and bring the body of Christ together.
Amen.
They're all needed. They all have a job to do.
Amen.
They're all under a commission. Is that okay?
Yes.
Brother Bram's talking about being over in India. No, I'm sorry. This is the next one. He says, now, you couldn't heal them. There's nothing at all that you could do towards salvation or healing. It's the individual's faith in Christ. He's talking about being out in the meetings. And now to bring up this faith in Christ, to bring up this faith in Christ, there's ministers. And that's the most important thing of the day. It's a good God-sent preacher. That's what he said. I admire them. I don't think Brother Branham would admire them if he felt they were not needed.
Right.
If they were irrelevant. Or as somebody told me one time, that they felt the fivefold ministry was in the way. And he told me, and you'd all know his name, he told me, he said, if we could only get the fivefold ministry out of the way, everything would be okay. He said, that's the most important thing of the day, is a God, good, God-sent preacher. I admire them. Their gift is far beyond anything. A preacher, a man who knows how to rightly divide the word. It's the most wonderful gift in the world is to have a tape recorder. What if I was in India? That's what he says. What if I was in India? There I'd say to these people, thousands of them. Now, when Brother Branham held a meeting in India, like, you know, 500,000, not a problem. I've been in Calcutta. I've been in India. And there was 500,000 people came to a political rally. Let me tell you, that's a crowd. You talk about a crowd now. I mean, I was on an elevated spot and I tried to look. I couldn't see the end of the crowd. It was 500,000 people who were there at this meeting. Brother Bram, and that's how many would show up at Brother Bram's meetings. And he says, what if I was in India? There I'd say to those people, thousands of them, stay here for a week or two. And they see the ministry, they see the supernatural, they see God doing things. And he'd say, they would love it. They believe it's the truth. They come out of heathenism. And when I was over there, two nights, maybe 100,000 converted to Christ. And nowhere to go. There's no message churches for them to go back to. The next day, I take a plane and come back to the States. And leave them like sheep among wolves. Imagine 100,000 new converts who want to be baptized and you got to walk away. You got to get on the plane and go home. Imagine. Then he says, what if? What if? In other words, Brother Bram's going to offer a solution here. Like, or a what if. Here's what he says. What if I had a group of men, young men, trained in the message? Not a bunch of tape players. What about if I had a group of young men trained in the message and say, now wait a minute, before I leave here, we're going to set in order these churches. There's two or three young men here with me. Will they be his helpers and so forth? And a church of this faith can be set there, which will be an outpost in India, an outpost in Germany, an outpost in Switzerland, an outpost in Hickory. God didn't all want it to happen in one place. There should be outposts everywhere. Why right now? He said we should have them all around the nations where I have been. And then the message then from there comes another and then comes another and comes another word. In other words, the message is truly like seeds, and you go to a place and you sow that seed and all of a sudden there's people catch it there, and that's meant to cause a growth of the church in that area, and then another area and another country and another place. And let me tell you, it's not all meant to be in one place. And this is Brother Bram's what if. What if I had, young men coming up behind me to minister the gospel here and to be able to set the church in order like an apostle and to be able to evangelize and go from village to village and travel around and so forth. And I got news for you today. That's happening.
Amen.
That's happening. And I'm grateful that we play a part in that, supplying evangelists with Bibles and books and so forth, and to be able to minister to the people that are in these churches here, because we all play a part, right? We all play a part.
Amen.
And Brother Bram said, this is like, he's telling us what his vision would be, what his desire would be.
Yeah.
I'll say amen to that.
Amen.
I agree with that. In other words, if Brother Branham was standing here, would he say something different in our time? I would say he'd be telling us, get out, get the message out, get it out, and let people hear it. We're at the end time. We're living in the end here. You know, we got the events of last week, and then we got the events of next week that are coming, and who knows what that will bring, and things happening over in Israel there. I'd say Brother Branham would be on top of the pulpit shouting at us, saying, hey, get right with God.
Amen.
Get stirred up.
Yeah.
Grow up. Stop your foolishness and your childishness, and let's focus on the kingdom. Let's focus on the things of God. Let's be steadfast. Let's be prayerful. Let's be mindful that this is all ending up, that this is exactly what God said, that this is exactly how it's supposed to end. And even though there's troubles all around and there's all kinds of things that are happening, and all of us, we are encumbered by the weight of the times we live in and the attacks that come our way. Let me tell you, there is a promise that we have, that we hold, that is greater than the circumstances that we face in our time. And God is simply pressurizing us for the day when we will leave here. And no matter how great the pressure gets, God will not allow the pressure to overwhelm us, because he's pressurizing us for another kingdom. He's preparing us for that. And the devil's not going to pull one over on him. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The devil's not going to race ahead of him and destroy the bride in the earth before she goes. God's been cultivating us to come to this place where we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I wish I had more voice to holler it out. I wish I had more voice to be able to say it more loudly and more effectively here. Because I'll tell you what, my prayer, even though I'm telling you what you already know, I'm telling you what's already been said, I've said everything I've said this morning almost, before already, but I would say this: I pray the Holy Spirit would take my words and drop them into your heart and stir them around, and you leave here and say, you know what, that's right. And if that's right, I'm going to let my troubles take second place, not first place, and I'm going to lay that aside, and I'm going to trust God for tomorrow, and I'm going to trust God for the next day, and I'm going to trust God for the next day, and I'm going to take my problems and put them at his feet, and I'm going to walk on in victory, because I know that I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I know that's settled. I know the sin question is settled here. I know where I'm going. I know that I'm a son or a daughter of God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what? If that's true, we have very little to worry about. Let's have our musicians just slide up here to the platform here. Why don't we stand to our feet? What if we had people that went out there and preached the gospel? But you know, it's kind of eerily reminiscent of what Jesus said in the book of John, when he said, I look out and I see the fields are white to harvest. But you know what there's a lack of? There's a lack of laborers in the field. And you need to pray. You need to pray that the Lord will have even more men that will go out and preach the gospel. You have more men that will go out in the fields and harvest the things that God has grown through the years. That's what you ought to pray for. Jesus even said you ought to pray for this to happen. Here's Brother Branham saying, you know, I can't be everywhere physically all at once. And he said, here I am at 100,000 converts to the message here. They're believing the supernatural. They're believing in Christ. They come out of the darkness of heathenism, and they're standing there now. What's next? What do we do next? You know, where do we go now? Who do we look to now? And they have nowhere to go. They have absolutely nowhere to go. What if we had a group of young men? I don't know. I mean, I don't even know why we wind up ending on this spot here. There may be somebody in here that has a heart for God and wants to preach the gospel or something else. You never know. And I just say this, that I believe would be an honorable thing to surface in your heart. That would be a great thing, because that's what's needed in our time. Brother Branham said, you know, you see an outpost over here and an outpost over here, a church over here, a church over there. And it's God working together to bring it to pass. God doesn't want us to look backwards. He wants us to look ahead. He doesn't want us to look back at something that has been. He wants us to take the message and go forward, because God's always interested in you moving in the right direction. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Even if it's a little at a time, just a step at a time, half a step at a time, God's interested in moving us in the right direction.
Amen.
And he's interested that we're taking what he's given to us and moving in the right direction. The message knows how to grow. Brother Bram said people will take the message then from there, and another and another and another. He says, let me tell you, God knows where to take the message and place it. God knows exactly where his elect are. He knows where his predestinated seed are.
Amen.
He knows all that. But But you know what he needs? He needs a voice. He needs a man. He needs somebody that he will submit himself to God and preach the gospel. And go, not entertain the people, but to go and to preach the gospel. Stir hearts. That's what God needs. That's what's really needed in our time. Our job should not be standing here trying to convince people not to watch Harry Potter. Our job should be to preach everything we can to build faith in the people's hearts. That they'll shuck off everything that doesn't belong and keep their eyes on that kingdom. Our job should be one of building faith. Our job should be one of pressing onward and making sure that our hearts are right with God continually. Brother Bram said, that's the thing I fear. He said that my heart might not be right with God. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. He said, I want to be sure that he'll say, here's a door, come on in, my faithful servant. That's what he said. All us worship him for a little bit, folks, tonight. I'm thankful. We live in a time where there's, you know, like I say, there's just such animosity, such pressure against the truth. But you know what? The truth will always win. Truth will always win.
Amen.
Above all powers,
above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure. Stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall, you thought of me above all crucified. Powers, above all kings, above all nature, and all created things, above all wisdom, oh Lord, you were here before the above all kingdom, above all thrones, above all the wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of this earth, there's no way to measure what you're. They behind on the ground. You took the fall, yes, Lord, and thought of me above all crucified. Thought of me, oh, above all crucified. Sing it again, church. You lived to die, rejected and alone. Trampled on the ground, you took the fall, yes, Lord, you thought of me above.
I need 7 men. If you would come, we're going to pray for Sophie here. She got into a little bottle of medicine and apparently has eaten some. We're not sure how many, and we contacted the poison control and so forth, and they gave us some advice there. But I'd like to pray that she has no repercussions at all, and she'll be completely well. So let's have 7 brothers, if you will, come on up here, full of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Lay your hands on, lay your hands on Josh there. And I'd like everybody to pray. Heavenly Father, we anoint Sophie with oil in the name of Jesus, standing together now in prayer, believing, Lord, that you're going to undertake for her and that, Lord, she'd be completely well. We know, Lord, it's just the enemy that would come and try to distract us. It's the enemy that would just come against us in whatever way he can. But we're claiming her today, and we're saying that this is God's property. This is God's possession. And she's living under the token. We're believing today that you're going to protect her and watch over her, Lord. We commit her into your hands. And in the name of Jesus, we command the enemy to stand back. Pray, dear God, for complete victory. May there be no symptoms, no manifestations, Lord, no ill effects. We just curse that and stand against it in faith now, believing that you're a God who heals and a God who delivers in a time of need. The whole church, Lord, standing together, we bind our faith now, knowing that the enemy will try to get in wherever he possibly can. We just place her now into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer.
Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, Lord, and we thank you for your word of promise that you've given to us in this last day, Lord. And how we recognize, Lord, that the enemy will try to come in whatever form he can, whatever capacity he can, whatever opening or whatever crack he can get through, he will try to come and penetrate and afflict God's children. But Lord, we're trusting in you tonight. And we're asking, oh God, that you would be merciful to those who are in need. We think of all the many requests, all the many people who are not here today, Lord, and we place them into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name that you would be in attendance, Lord. We think of Sister Angie with her brother, Lord. And I just ask that you be just mindful, Lord, and merciful in that situation. We place them into your care. And Lord, no matter what the situation is, we know that you're a God who always has an answer. You're a God who's always able to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so we entrust the people into your hands, Lord. Entrust the people into your care. And ask that you would watch over us, Lord, and guide us, temper us, shape us, mold us, Lord, because you're transforming us for another kingdom and another place. Have your way, we pray. We stand confident in your ability to see this bride through. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, moving in our midst, and I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are here, working in this place. Worship you, I worship you. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are here, touching every heart, and I worship you, I worship you. Oh, you are here, I worship you, I worship you, 'cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, that is who you are. And you are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, I worship you. Worship you, Lord, for you are promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Lord Jesus, we dismiss today, not from your presence, Lord, but mindful of your goodness, your grace to us. Stay with us, Lord, I pray. May we just walk in the light and walk in your presence, Lord, as we leave this place today. We commit our hearts into your care now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Sing this as you go this morning.
Give myself away. Oh, give myself away so you can use
me.
I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Here I am and here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. And I give myself away. I give myself away.
Let's have all of our school kids come on up here. School, university, college, doesn't matter, homeschool, whatever school. Let's come on up, gather in, gather in, gather in. If that's all right, gather in. We want to pray a prayer of protection over all of our young people, knowing that they face challenges today in our world that is not like it used to be. And so whatever place you go to school, whatever environment, we just pray that the Holy Spirit will be with you and protect you, but also that you'll be a light wherever you go. You'll be a witness, and you'll be able to say right things and speak right things. And that's what we pray. Parents, why don't you come on up and stand behind them? If you're a teacher, anybody else want to pull in here, kids? Pull in. Come on, pull in here. Pull in. Don't be afraid. Pull in. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have this opportunity, Lord, to be able to invite your blessing upon all of our students and our teachers, Lord, and everybody involved in schooling this year. And as we embark on another year, we know, Lord, that in whatever way he could, the enemy would love to be able to stop us or distract us. But we're committing these children now and their parents and their families into your hands and asking that you would be gracious and merciful to them. And then, Lord, you'd have your hand upon them. And, Lord, may they not only learn good things, Lord, but they also would be voices for truth in this last day. And they would be a light in a dark place and a representative of the kingdom, truly, that reflects the standards and the truth of your word. I pray, dear God, you'd help us to be that wherever we go. And, Lord, in life we would become that. In life we would practice that. But, Lord, at a young age we want to learn that people are watching us, Lord, and in whatever way we can, we want to be able to stand, Lord, for things that are true. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon these young people, Lord, today. And, Father, especially those in the older time of school, we just commit them into your hands. Pray that you would guard their minds, guard their hearts. And, Lord, may you just prosper their way. And we pray for every family represented here today, that your peace and your presence would be with them. We ask these things confidently, and we ask them, Lord, knowing that you care about families and all we go through. We commit them to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats there. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for reminding me there. Let's sing a song. Close out.
Life is not... myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I stand. Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Well, my life is not my own. To you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. Yeah. I give myself to you. Well, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, I give myself away.
Amen. Sing it as you go, church. Just keep that thought on your heart.
Give myself away so you can.